unity is strength and to show success. All for one and one for all. Unity means solidarity.
Solidarity, baby! That's what it's all about right here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Make sure you tune in to us there in the chat room so you can like ask us questions and such. And also, we're going to be cranking open the phone lines. The number is 402-237-2525. That's 402-237-2525. Topics for today, just making them up off the top of my head to be honest, is the Christchurch quakes, plural, that have just happened more recently, just as strong as the February quakes, which incidentally were stronger than the Saturday quakes, or September quakes, or whatever. Quakes have different dates. Is the name of the discussion today. Also, other suspicious quakes as well, or rather disastrous resulting quakes, like the Fukushima nuclear incident. It's another topic to call in about today. The last topic as well is the leaders of your country. So whether or not you're from... I don't know, freaking Tunisia or Egypt or America or New Zealand, doesn't matter. Your leader is probably some description of banker paid scum, which you're probably going to try and overthrow at some point, and in some cases already have. And also, as a extra added fruity pie mixture to this party favours we call the Vinnie Eastwood Show, we have a very special guest. Her name is Evelyn Gilbert, coming at us live from New Zealand. Those of you who have not heard of her, she's really fabulous in exposing particular elements of our Prime Minister, John Key. And she incidentally used to work in special effects for movies and such. Evelyn, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Finny. It's nice to be back.
Oh, yes. We love having you back, too. And in the second segment, ladies and gentlemen, we'll also be joined for a panel discussion by Karen Quinn Tostado. So it's going to be like a feminist mashup here or something like that. It'll be fantastic. Now, Evelyn, please tell us the news of the day. What connection does the Prime Minister have with Christchurch? I mean, he grew up there, and now I think he's just sort of using the fact that he grew up there and he's the Prime Minister of the country to just pass all these draconian laws and whatnot to do with zoning so that the government can now basically demolish at will.
Well, it's sort of the... his modus operandi, isn't it? You know, and it's the modus operandi of the international finance elite. It's never waste a good crisis to give you new powers and to bend the situation towards your will. Of course, in this case, Jerry Brownlee has been put in the place of ultimate power, but. You can rest assured that it's the international financial elite that will ultimately decide what is going to happen on the South Island once Christchurch has been basically eliminated.
Why are they trying to eliminate Christchurch? I mean, there was one theory that I heard from Benjamin Fulford, former editor of Forbes magazine, apparently. He's now living in Japan. And he said that the Christchurch quake was no accident and that they were trying to bargain, the Americans were trying to bargain with New Zealand to accept 1 million US refugees that were soon to be coming. And we said no. And then 2 hours after the nine congressmen who were meeting here on that day set foot on the plane, an enormous earthquake happened in Christchurch.
Well,
and they've been happening ever since.
We do know, of course, that the United States, as well as China and Russia, have geo weapons. You know, they can influence the weather, and it has been said that they can actually cause earthquakes. Now, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a scientist, but there are plenty of well-educated scientists and that corroborate this story. I don't know about a million. That would be about right, wouldn't it? Sort of the entire financial elite wants to come and live in the South Island while the Northern Hemisphere is getting totally polluted with radioactive fallout.
Sounds like a primo evac plan to me, man.
Sounds great to me. Yeah, if I was, you know, part of the
finance, and they may have an abandoned Christchurch city to descend on.
That and the entire beautiful area to grow food in. I don't think it's limited to Christchurch. I think it's, you know, the entire South Island would be nice.
Well, maybe that's not even enough. I mean, we have Petrobras as well, who are known basic violating polluters. And, of course, they're funded by the World Bank and supported by the UN and other globalist organizations that all the left love to no end. And so, incidentally, now Greenpeace, which is funded by oil companies as incidentally, is now protesting against Petrobras because what they're doing is killing a heck of a lot of marine life, as it turns out. They do these sonic sonar analyzing arrays and drag them out the back of the ship, and they pulse all this, all these waves into the water and bounce it back off the ground. And meanwhile, every single fish and animal that hears that from miles around just absolutely goes nuts because it's so freaking loud that it just blows their heads apart, pretty much. Not literally, but this is the real difficulty. Even if the government were not a banker-controlled government, it'd still be controlled by other corporations. And that's incidentally how it works anyway. And when I see protesting by by groups that are funded by oil companies against oil companies, I got to scoff because that doesn't make any sense to me. And it's just a form of controlled opposition. And it's the funny thing. No real crazy arguments will get out there. Like the argument that we're having today, for example, about Christchurch and Petrobras or whatever. You'd never hear this on mainstream news.
The last couple of weeks, even I have been shocked by the total lack of real information on the mainstream news. You know, issues like the Bilderberg Group meeting in Switzerland, in St. Moritz, hasn't touched base here. The fact that we've got three nuclear reactors in not just meltdown, but in melt-through, meaning that the fuel is sort of burning through the buildings into the soil, it's nowhere to be found. It's just absolutely shocking. While we do know that Kate and Wills have seven people entourage to their tour to Canada. Like we care.
Well, I care about that. Seven people entourage? Jeepers creepers.
And she didn't bring a dresser. She only brought her hairdresser. I mean, this is not just in English newspapers, it's in New Zealand newspapers, it's in Dutch newspapers. I'm from Dutch descent, I read Dutch newspapers. It's everywhere. But the fact that we have a 35% increase in child mortality on the west coast of America in the aftermath of the meltdowns of Fukushima is not on the pages of our mainstream news.
Well, there wasn't too much about the Gulf of Oil Kano incident either. after it mysteriously got sealed up, considering it was considered impossible by human standards. And then one day it was just like, oh, we just managed to seal it. What? What did you manage to do? How?
Exactly. And for all intents and purposes, it's still going. We do know that plenty of dolphins, fish, you know, especially you know the bigger fish in the upper regions of the predators, the top of the system predators are dying and ending up on the beach. So we don't know. We do know that it's still going on, but you don't see that.
What you don't hear is that, and I love to repeat this one particular fact because it's a very interesting and intricate fact, is that there's this dude called Anatoly Segalevich, okay? And he's, interestingly enough, one of the best marine free divers in the world, and he's also like a real geologist dude about the seafloor or whatever the F that's called. And they sent him down in a submarine to check the seabed for if there were any cracks or anything like that. And sure enough, there were. In fact, there were lots of cracks around the seabed. So you counted about 20. And there've been more counted since, where great fissures have kind of opened up under the seafloor, and small cracks and bubbles and stuff here and there all across the Gulf of Mexico, where oil and volcanic material is seeping out really, really fast into the ocean. And it happened in, like, I think when he counted about 19 different places that he found within 20-mile radius of the wellhead.
Absolutely.
They punctured something really bad. And then they just put a story on the news. Oh, we closed that wellhead. It's all good now. And nobody ever hears anything about it ever again. Apart from perhaps a couple of like little public meetings where local fishing people are like yelling at the mainstream representatives from BP or something like that and saying, we need to get our money for our last catch. And they're not talking about the fact that the entire area is contaminated for the next decade. Are they?
Make that the next century, especially with the dissolvents they've used. To dissolve just enough oil to get it underwater and invisible, you know. But hey, it doesn't matter so much because, you know, we're gonna all be dying of plutonium poisoning.
Oh, isn't that tasty?
Because Fukushima Reactor 3 was fueled with MOX, which is the uranium plutonium mix. And if you realize that 1 pound of plutonium, you know, the size of a golf ball, because it's a really dense kind of material, if that's evaporated into the atmosphere, it can kill all life on this planet.
Yep, that's right. Be like, ooh, oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Supposedly, there are technologies that are being concealed that can clear this stuff up just like that. But I haven't verified it or anything. But for all intents and purposes, this is my understanding of the Fukushima nuclear crisis. 90% of the world's oceans, Pacific Ocean, the world's largest ocean, is now contaminated with some form of radiation. So if you live in the Pacific Rim, don't be eating anything that comes from the Pacific Ocean, because you'll be eating radiation.
Is that including the previous nuclear tests and everything, or is that just from Fukushima?
That's just from Fukushima.
Well, yeah, I know that they caught mink whales, because even though Japan said they weren't going to catch any more whales, they have still gone out and now catching whales. Especially mink whales, but they caught at some stage a group of six, of which two were contaminated with radioactive material. And that was 650 kilometers away from Japan, so that's how it goes. Algae get eaten by whales swim around, crustaceans eat radioactive material, that they get eaten by fish, who get eaten by bigger fish, and by the time it gets to New Zealand, it will end up everywhere.
Well, it's already in New Zealand, eh? The whole country is so surrounded with radioactive material. Australia is getting a lot of it, apparently. All the upstreams, it's washed up all over the United States coast, off the sea, off the Yellow Sea, coast of China, the whole Pacific Rim, you know, North and South
awesome.
America, you know.
Awesome.
So that's just from one incident. Now this is three meltdowns. What people don't understand about Chernobyl is that there wasn't actually a meltdown. And people don't even know what a meltdown actually is. Have you ever heard of China syndrome? It's when a reactor gets so hot that it burns down into the earth forever and will burrow through to China. That's what China syndrome is. And we have not one, but three China syndrome situations in Fukushima happening right now.
Okay, for people who want some more background, what they should do is Google Andy Gunderson. Andy Gunderson is a specialist. He's a former engineer working in the nuclear industry, and he was a witness in the hearings about the Three Mile Island disaster, which actually was the sort of the model for the film, The China Syndrome. And he is almost on a weekly basis responding and explaining the Fukushima crisis, and it's very enlightening. He's very, very clear about what is happening, and based on his nuclear engineering background. So that's
all right, and you're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio.
The way it's going to be.
Welcome back. Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guest, Evelyn Gilbert, has been so kind to join us at such short notice. We're now joined for a panel discussion with none other than the irredeemably fabulous Karen Quinn Tostado.
All right, it's lovely to be here.
Fantastic. Now, we just did United We Strike again, and it was freaking hilarious. The unfortunate incident was that Mike Chambers and myself kind of hijacked the conversation. And incidentally, made everybody else crack up and laughing for the next hour in that place. And after all, it was just really nice to be there for the wrap up, Karen, because you know, I'm sure you were quite tired and needed a bit of a perking up at the end of that long weekend's work.
Well, it was nice to have you both, and I enjoy being able to introduce hosts from different Patriot radio stations who support the strike and peaceful resistance, but who never get a chance to talk to each other. So it was a good thing.
Yeah, and the whole point of United We Strike is about peaceful, non-violent, non-compliant. I mean, we can talk about all the problems till we're blue in the face, but if we don't take action, they aren't going to get solved.
Well, and it's also about really being accountable. And my husband and I were having an interesting conversation the other day about when do you lose your humanity? You know, and do you lose it only when you go into the service, the first time that you're given an order to shoot a child who has been a witness to some of the atrocities that you've participated in or the members of your group have participated in? Or is it ignoring that that goes on? Because every day we sit here, and just because we don't see the damage from the drones that are exploding and killing people in the other parts of the world doesn't mean it isn't happening. But we ignore it. We claim that we don't like violence or war, and yet, collectively, millions and millions of us, billions of us across this planet, are sitting by as a small minority who have taken over the military and the governments and religions and politics are murdering other people on our dime with our money and getting ready to have us next on the menu. You know, when does it stop?
Well, I think it stops when everybody realizes that the major institutions of control in our current time are all controlled by the same people. Once people realize that there's no, that there's a connection between the left right paradigm, and that there's a banking system that prints money out of nothing, and that their food prices are inflated, so are their gas prices, which could be infinite and virtually free, and they've had all their energy taken away from them, their wages aren't high enough. As soon as people connect the dots, I think, that's when we'll really see a change, because until such a time, we'll only have people running on three-word campaign slogan platforms or something of that nature, which will just further dump down the public into having hope that some description of change will come in the next election.
That's it. And what happens between now and then? What about all the pork that's in those bills that are signed without even being read by a group of people who hold themselves outside of the laws that they're passing for us, telling us that, oh, sorry, we have to do that, we're your elected officials, when nothing could be further from the truth? It's a game, it's a distraction to keep us from taking action here and now and roosting them out.
It's a game and a distraction to keep us from taking the action. I like that. Did you steal that from Tupac?
I happen to be clever all on my own, I'll have you know.
Hey, isn't that... you know, like an ever-revealing goodie bag you are, Karen. And, well, speaking of introducing people, I wanted to introduce you to Evelyn Gilbert from New Zealand, who does like a whole bunch of research into our current prime sinister John Key, and used to work in the digital effects game or something of that nature in the movies.
Hi, Karen. Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you. I like prime sinister. I think that's very good.
It is, isn't it?
It is.
Well, one of my listeners also dubbed him the Crime Sinister.
It's also good. That's also good. And I think our world is suffering really from the effects of capitalization, you know, and we all should be members of the ADL, the Anti-Defecation League, because we're tired of being crapped on by these people.
Oh, mate. But unfortunately, ADL currently stands for, as modern America knows it, the All Defecation League, where they dispense said crap.
That's pretty true as well. Nothing but crap.
Go ahead, Karen.
Well, it's just that we have been so conditioned to give away our power. You know, we're born into these systems that are set up ahead of time, that have been set up generations ahead of time, because they planned global government long before we came on the scene, and just incrementally have been doing this and channeling us further down the road. But they teach us names like patriotism and nationalism to make us believe that we're being patriotic if we're supporting our government, who just happens to be stealing from us and you know, the military arm of the New World Order is America, is our military.
Yeah, they distract everybody with all these different isms, you know, communism, fascism, ism everywhere, but no one stops to think.
That's it. And so we collectively, though, we are accountable. And I want to come back to this, and because it really, the more that our world spins out of control and we just go about our daily lives, we send a message of compliance. And that's what United We Strike is all about. If you're not compliant, if you realize that just because our lives look very comfortable from our living room doesn't mean that we're not complicit in allowing the lives of other people to be totally destroyed. You know, $20 billion George Bush had printed up for the restructuring of Iraq. And they didn't get it, but Halliburton did. And Halliburton can take a $75,000 truck with a flat tire and throw it in a burn pit in order to order a new truck instead of a new tire. And that's on our dime. And all the orphans, you know, that are being created, and the deformities, all because we refuse to collectively come together and say no more. So peaceful resistance is it. And that's why we encourage the 15th of every month and also the second weekend of every month. You know, when we have our marathon, let's keep our money out. Let's just stop going along with our own demise.
In fact, the money that was given to the Iraqis was money that was blocked, was actually Iraqi money that was sent back at the time. So they didn't just steal American money, they stole actually money from the Iraqis that way.
Well, it's a global crime syndicate that steals money and stands over everybody.
Absolutely.
Plays people off against each other.
Yeah, Max Kaiser today was talking, he's in Greece, and all kinds of things are happening now. The people are really angry, and justifiably so. Their government is being challenged, and now he was with some lawyers who are getting ready to sue the government because they also realized that the debt of the country had been bundled up and resold back and resold back and resold back to the tune of billions of dollars just for the IMFers to, you know, sign a sheet to get them to pay back by selling their beautiful islands, you know. And here they're talking about selling our country off to China. You know, yeah, let's, this fraudulent banking debt, we're going to have free trade zones, and let's sell off some of our states to pay the debt instead of the people here, over 300 million of us, over 6 billion globally, saying, you know, that's it. I've got food, water, and everything I need for my family. I'm not going to work today or tomorrow or maybe for a week because I'm tired of being screwed. You guys can screw yourselves for a change without me being part of it.
Yeah, sounds exactly like the kind of prostitution scandals that the IMF would be caught up in.
You know,
in the wake of Strauss-Kahn, you know, it occurs to me that whenever somebody high profile like this goes down, two things occur to me. Number one, it's just a symptom of a deeper crisis within the whole establishment as a whole. Now, there's not just, you know, one or two of them or something like that high up that are engaging in prostitution and sexual assault and things like that. There's actually quite a lot of them. And the second thing occurs to me is that why did this guy get singled out?
Well, let's see. Maybe he was friends with Anthony Weiner.
Well, he did.
Are we talking about the literal Anthony Weiner?
Apparently, he is resigning. Can you believe that? Resigning. And I'll have to wait and see just kind of what a wonderful benefit package he gets. Because I could hardly believe that there was even a question. Let's see. And his name, I'm Anthony Weiner, and I'll prove it all over the internet. And I'll still stay in office. It's like, come on. Let's make sure he gets his retirement package and everything. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, everybody needs to be careful of Dominique Strauss-Kahn's package.
That's right. If we're not getting IMF'd, we're getting EMF'd, you know? Just don't leave us alone.
Well, of course, Strauss-Kahn wanted to be the next president of France, didn't he?
Yeah, he wanted to be the head MF-er himself.
He would have gotten along great with.
He would have gotten cozy with Sarkozy.
And also Mitterrand. I think it's Frederick Mitterrand, who is the Minister of Culture, who is a self-proclaimed pedophile. A self-proclaimed pedophile has a book out talking about how when he sees a young boy smile, he knows he will not be denied. This is the Minister of Culture of France. This is what we put up with collectively. It is just outrageous.
Yeah, well, it says a lot about French culture, doesn't it?
No, I'm joking.
This is just, you know,
it says a lot about the people who we allow to be in positions of power globally, the people who we allow to abuse us. I want to encourage your listeners to look at Cywars. Vinny, have you seen that yet, or Evelyn?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Cywars and Human Resources, made by the same filmmakers, excellent films.
I haven't. And I watch a lot of films, so I'm going to be Googling this one after we stop this show, because I want to see it too.
You can find it on my website at taxfree15.com, taxfree15.com, where you can also find a real good one called The New American Century. And they're documentaries that people should see, because then instead of feeling like you have to join the military to defend your country, people can actually see that we've just been sold down the river for so many years. All of us are slaves. It doesn't matter what color you are, what country you live in, what race you are. We have all been fooled, stolen from, lied to, and murdered in the name of profit. And now it is really time to wake up. It's beyond time to wake up. But in my opinion, we cannot fight them. They have all the tools, all the weapons, and mind control through television and through all sorts of other things that they do. But when you do start waking up, we can understand that collectively we outnumber them. If we had these kinds of odds and went to Vegas, we'd all be multi-trillionaires, you know. If we just stopped all of this nonsense, if we went on strike for a week or 2 weeks and said, I'm not working until you stop all foreign military aid and bring all of our men and women home. Cancel all fraudulent banking debt, get rid of central government and central banks, and declare individual, state, and national sovereignty for everybody. Go home, time to rebuild and start over. It would be a wonderful world, and it could be that easy.
It could honestly be that easy, absolutely.
It could be like how it's happening in Greece right now. There's an article in here from Guerrilla Media. 2 weeks after it started, the Greek movement of outraged people has the main squares in all cities overflowing with crowds that shout their anger and makes the Paparando protest movement even a massive mobilization against austerity measures. It's turned into a genuine popular uprising that is sweeping over the country, an uprising that makes that makes it know at large its refusal to pay for their crisis or their debt while vomiting the two big neoliberal parties. That's freaking awesome. You listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guests are Karen Quinn Tostado and Evelyn Gilbert. And we'll be right back at the Vinny Eastwood Show.com.
There must be some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief.
Welcome back. Must be some kind of way out of here, said the mortgagee to AIG. You were listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, where it's all about repo men. And my two very special guests are Evelyn Gilbert and Karen Quinn Tostado. And they're quite fabulous indeed. And we're basically just on the fly here. I don't really have anything particular to say today, and I'm more interested to hear what's on your guys' minds here, and sort of give you the floor.
Well, I do have something I'd like to share. A friend of mine sent me a little link that talks about the Japanese turning poop into meat and food because it had so much protein in there. So not only are they poisoning our land and seas and skies and water, but they are literally telling us to eat crap and die. It is true. I'll put a link in there and you can share it with your listeners, but it's a pretty disgusting turn of events.
You want me to share that crap with my listeners? I'm not sure, Kev, if that's a wise move, Karen. You know, we've got FCC regulations to think about here.
It is truly crap.
I come up with a big platter of it, you know.
Well, and, you know, usually by the time they get around to telling us that they've actually done something or they can do something means that they've been doing it for a while. So, let's see, well, Japanese orphanages, prisons, old people.
No. They're a drive-thru at McDonald's when you go and order a crappy meal. For the kids.
Well, you know, they're also putting these little, how do you call them, they're testers for radioactive fallout. You know, nurses used to have them that the nurses had them. When they're working in the radiation in the X-ray section, to you know, make sure that they get more radiation than they can handle, and now every Japanese child has to wear one continuously. Not that you can change anything. I mean, once you're contaminated, you're contaminated.
Well, ask yourself this, ladies and gentlemen: are you contaminated? Quite possibly, right now at this very moment, yes, you are contaminated by something. Any one of you out there break one of those energy-saving light bulbs? Yep, you're contaminated, all right, with mercury vapors. And I sit up there on the synapse. Happened to me a couple of times. I don't know how long it's going to take for me to forget my. Oh crap! It's happening already. see, that's just the way it goes. There's all these little environmental influences that most people are just completely unaware of the damages these things do. You know, just the BPA on the receipts that people handle every day, and I make a point of telling every single checkout person and every single person at a shop or a restaurant or whatever. As I'm paying, as they're giving me the receipts, to tell them, don't touch the ink on that, man. That stuff's got a really hazardous chemical in it called BPA that can make you sterile and or feminize you. People don't realize the danger that they're in just in their everyday life. And that's, I think, the reason why our society has become so incrementally worse is because tiny little things have gotten worse and gone crazy, and nobody seems to know about it. And so now at this point, we're at the point where everything's really bad and everything's really crazy, and the problem's so big and so bad that people just can't even conceive of it. They can't grasp the magnitude because they've been taught to think in a very small way. The media's been dumbed down. They've been told specifically to use smaller, dumber words and all of that nature. You know, there's no sophistication in the media today. It is very, very, very dull, dry, boring, uninformative, soundbite-ish crap, frankly. And it needs to be destroyed. and the way we do that, of course, is we simply create better media. We now have the internet. Most people are starting to use it. And incidentally, now you can buy a Rev box where you can pick up many, many different channels from all over the world on TV $150 to buy it, and then it's only like $15 a month. And you get all your television channels there. We've got things like the Conspiracy History Channel and the Underground News Network, and we've got shows from many of the different radio hosts on this particular network, and myself included, on that television network as well. So what we're talking about here is a way to completely undermine the media in every single scope using the internet. And I think that's ultimately the biggest danger to the establishment media at the moment now, is internet users. Karen, are you there? Evelyn?
I was just thinking about the Bilderberg meeting last weekend. They are very scared, of the alternative media. And needless to say, they want to destroy the internet. I think it was Rockefeller who once said it was the biggest mistake they made. So get it while you can. Download as much as you can. Get that box if you can, and just, you know, enjoy it and use it while you can.
Well, you know, that's probably a good idea, I think. Really? I mean, it beyond me to think that people have got this massive opportunity like the internet and they're just going to throw it away. No! Human beings, you know, generally exploit opportunities once they're aware of them.
Well, it really has given us a voice. I'm back, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
I tend to be a dropout at times on stations.
I wonder what that says about you, Karen. Go on.
Not much. You know, what can I say? I went to school on Catalina Island, you know.
I know nothing about Catalina Island, but go on. What is before you go on, let's talk about what is Catalina Island.
Well, it's different now than it used to be, but way back in the old days, when I went to school over there, it was just a beautiful, remote little idyllic place to live. But I had gone to Catholic school prior to moving over there, and when I make that reference, it was because in Catholic school, you really have to learn. You have to do your homework, and you have to show up and, you know, hopefully keep your fingers and your rear end out of the way of the ruler. But, yeah, I mean the one that is whacked down on your fingers. It was not challenging, though, to me, because it was a public school, a smaller school, and I had already learned everything that was laid out that we were supposed to learn the first day of school. So it was challenging for me to deal with because I was only 12, and I wasn't really set to jump ahead or be put behind. I just kind of had to try and fit in, and there were only about 32 other children in my class. And at that time, I wouldn't even think about the F-bomb. And it was being dropped right and left. So I was watertight for a few years and really didn't learn anything. It was public schooling. And it was also an indoctrination center. I honestly do not remember at all, and it could just be me, learning about the Constitution, learning about our rights, learning about the smallpox blankets that were given to the Indians as part of a eugenics. You know, you don't learn about the things in history that we should be learning about that really do matter. And when the Bilderbergs get together and now, you know, have to kind of scurry back under their rocks, they still are involved in public policy. And all of this should be so unacceptable. Today, Catherine Austin Fitz was talking about the Bohemian Grove meeting next month. And I want to read to you a quote here because I think it's extremely important that we understand that these secret societies that are so-called representatives, our misrepresentatives belong to, are totally treasonous. Here is the modus operandi, and here's a quote. The activities of the order are directed toward changing our society, changing the world to bring about a new world order. This will be a planned order with heavily restricted individual freedom, without constitutional protection, without national boundaries or cultural distinction. Now, every Republican president since Hoover, including Reagan, Ford, Bush, all belong to this. Why do we allow our misrepresentatives to take oaths like this, to belong to secret societies, to actually be able to throw down representatives of other countries and get away with it, you know? Without realizing we're all sold out.
You're actually, you know, 100% right, Karen. It's a tragedy. A real freaking tragedy, ladies and gentlemen, that those of us who have woken up feel pity and sorrow for those of you who have not yet realized your true potential and your true power, that you can make a difference in this world very easily. The problem is you're too brainwashed to do it. And what we try to do here at the Vinnie Eastwood Show is brainwash you into doing it. We'll be right back.
The belly of the vulture, wash your back. There's no civilians, women, children, frontline prison. Consider this a distant, early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution, gathering dust particles, funneling through smokestack, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation, too fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
Welcome back. Oh, yes. It's all about unity right here. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. My very special guests, Evelyn Gilbert and Karen Quintostato. You know, we strike in Aotearoa, a wider perspective. If you go to gorillamedia.co.nz, you'll be able to see Evelyn there. Aotearoa, a wider perspective, just down the side. You'll notice it by the sign of the deformed baby. Nice choice there. It's very homely, Evelyn. I love it.
It is. Some people can't go to my side because of that picture.
Yeah,
it's true,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah, I know, but marketing, girl. Marketing, come on. That's why I just had to have that as just a little badge on my show, just to have that little bit of horrific genocide, you know, for everybody to just sneak a peek at once in a while if they want to.
Well, it's a fellow activist who lives in Wellington. Her sister is a nurse, and she helps people having their children born, and she at some stage said, "I have seen the most horrifically disformed child stillborn," and she says, "I've never ever in my life seen anything as horrible as that." And if you realize that we send our young men to Afghanistan where they're using tons of depleted uranium, I'm not surprised that that is coming back here as well.
It is unconscionable. Some of these poor babies are born and they cannot even survive their deformities. I would really encourage people to look at that. Go do a search engine yourself on depleted uranium and birth defects, and see what we are gifting Iraq with in terms of really helping their country. Look at what the American soldiers who have come back and who are standing against the war have to say. Understand, we are the military arm of the New World Order. President Obama, now another executive BS order from BS, is talking about now any president can go to war anywhere for as long as he wants. Well, we're destroying our planet. We are destroying our planet. We're destroying each other. The population is not out of control. There is enough land in Australia to put everybody in there with an acre, a half an acre, and still have half of Queensland left over, or to put them in Texas and have a good deal of Texas come back on us. The population of the United States has been going down since the 50s. You know, it is a plan to make us think that we're overpopulated by getting us all out of the land that we originally owned, you know, our ancestors, the pioneers, our farms. Let's get everybody out of there under UN Agenda 21, farm them into the cities, pull in a bunch of people who are here illegally, to make them more crowded, indoctrinate them, shove differences down their throats, get them fighting amongst themselves, thinking there isn't enough, while these miscreants who are running the world sit back, laugh, and start sucking up more of the resources and destroying more of the planet to finish their nefarious plan for world domination.
And the world domination has many facets and forms, and one of which, of course, as we always love to talk about with Evelyn, is our fabulous Prime Sinister John Key, the Godfather, the Al Pacino of New Zealand.
Same goes for the population here, same goes for the population in Europe. They're all declining.
Yeah, but they want us to believe it's our fault. They want you to have those light bulbs that are toxic. Don't pay attention to how you dispose of them or the fact that, you know, it drops in your house and now everything is contaminated. Or in America here, our new nuclear crisis, which is in Nebraska, which can contaminate the Missouri River. You know, we've all been nuked. Fukushima continues. The ongoing BP Gulf massacre continues. And we go about our lives as usual thinking, oh, let me see, if I vote for this guy next time, my world will be better. What a load of poop burger that is.
It's delicious and nutritious. Tastes just like chicken.
Yep, it's got loads of proteins in there.
Oh, yeah. No. Good for growing babies. Good for growing babies. You know, we'll put it in the baby formula. We'll chuck in some extra MSG to make it taste nicer for them and some aspartame to help their neural pathways along as well.
We'll modify everything to boot and put some red and yellow dyes in there while we're spraying your skies, while we're poisoning your mind with crap, while we're teaching you religions that teach you to hate each other and to justify murder because that's just the way God wants it to be.
Well, we make the cost of your everyday life go up and up at every single facet. When you get into your car, it burns up more petrol and more gas and more poisonous carbon monoxide goes into the atmosphere and more harmless carbon dioxide goes into the atmosphere, which you get taxed on now in New Zealand. And then, of course, you drive down the road, and, of course, if you go any more over than 5 kilometres over the speed limit during a holiday season, you'll get pulled over by the police who come over and force you to take a ticket of over $150 for a crime which isn't even a crime, which they just made up out of thin air, because police officers create about 80% of all crime and solve about 40% of it. and then, of course, you get real angry at this, and you go down to your local political party shuffling, and you talk to the person up at the top, and they just dodge your questions, and they don't really answer anything, and the problem arises soon after that you can't solve any of the problems that you really want solved by talking to any of the people that are in charge, because the people who are in charge are the ones who created all the problems that you want to solve, and they will only manipulate you so that they can get your consent to do it again to you another time.
That's right. And stand over here because TSA is ready to make sure you're not going to go into this school prom and explode a bomb that you've got concealed in your crotch.
Oh, my goodness. And you can imagine the very, very sick, sadistic individuals who would just love to get all up inside a bunch of teenage girls' pantyhose as they're going into their senior prom looking for bombs. Okay? It's the kind of thing that you can expect from a disastrously sick society. Is when people's level of dignity is degraded to that point that you have basically the opportunity as a breeding ground for pedophiles and sexual predators.
That was truly disgusting.
Yeah. But, and it is truly disgusting, you know, and it was another blurb here where, and I forget what city it was, sometimes I'm just so overwhelmed with the ignorance that's out there. that is just running rampant. I have to step back, but there was actually a vote taken in a town where the city wants to have a lockbox with everybody's key information in there so that in case there's an emergency, they can get into your house and take care of it for you. And they're the elected officials, so it's really their job. Everybody needs to be protected. So at the price of your freedom, we're going to protect you, but we're not accountable for what we do because, you know, we have to take these precautions. It's unbelievably tyrannous and ridiculous, and let's feed it to you over the media. Let's have you turn into American Idol or watch that football game, or God forbid that you actually turn off your television set and turn on your mind and ask questions like, let's see, wait a minute, could those two towers really have blown out like that? Why was there so much molten material underneath them? What about building number 7? And why is there a round hole in the Pentagon?
And why was there for, as much as a kilometer or and a half radius around the Twin Towers, toasted cars? All the cars have been burnt. Ash doesn't
do that. With melted motors.
You know, and everything around it was sweet. It was just the cars that were toasted. The ground wasn't toasted. The trees weren't toasted. It was just the cars, just the metal.
Yeah, and not even the 2 passports were toasted.
like I always say, 9/11 has more red flags than the entire country of China. Okay?
There you go.
And if you don't believe me, here's a simple test that you can conduct at home, ladies and gentlemen. You go out to your barbecue grill. And okay, now your first test is, does your barbecue grill work? All right, good. Now, second test, does your grill melt? No, it doesn't. Okay. Third test, does your barbecue explode into particleized dust? No, it doesn't. Okay, 9/11 was an inside job. Can't get it any more simple than that. Sorry.
Nope, then just keep the burgers off the grill.
If you're not convinced, why don't you try and clap your hands 180 times in 10 seconds? You can't do that? Right. 9/11 was an inside job.
I love the mathematics of it.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead, Karen.
I was going ahead.
Try again, sorry. You cut out there a little.
Okay, am I back?
You seem to be cutting out quite a bit, actually. Karen, would you mind typing your phone number into the Skype chat here, and we'll bring you up on phone because your Skype seems to be a little bit lackluster, which is unfortunate. All right, cool. Evelyn, did you have anything to add to this or no?
About Building 7, I could talk for an whole hour about that. You know, there's plenty of witnesses that say there were bombs going off in the morning, and I have this ongoing and interesting exchange about this subject on another New Zealand blog. People should join me once in a while, and because it's a big blog, and just, you know, start telling people and educating people about this subject, because it needs to be known, because it also is important for New Zealand. If only it was because New Zealanders died in the same attack.
It was part of the project for a new American century. You know, they needed another Pearl Harbor type event, so they manufactured it. And the same owner of the Three Towers, Silverstein, who just coincidentally took out insurance, terrorist insurance, shortly before it happened, and collected.
He actually got specific double terrorism insurance so that it paid out twice, because he classified each plane hitting each tower as a separate terrorist attack. not incorporated, so he got paid out double.
Right. And he owns the Sears Towers.
And guess how he wound up owning the World Trade Center? How much did he pay? How much did he put down? He put down $1. $1 US he put down. All the rest was loan.
And we paid for it, yeah. And then he really collected again, and now he owns the Sears Towers.
But get this. That's how he began to own the Sears Towers, to my reckoning, okay? He took out extra terrorism insurance on the World Trade Center, which was asbestos-ridden, and I've got a friend who whose sister is a high-level contractor here in New Zealand, and she was actually called to New York to talk about asbestos removal of the World Trade Center complex. And she said, well, that's going to be really expensive, man. And they said, yeah, you know, we wanted to do controlled demolition, but the EPA said we couldn't do it because it would contaminate all of the downtown with huge amounts of dust particles and stuff and get into everybody's lungs and make them all sick and basically kill them all of cancer real quickly. So it's illegal to do that. And it turned out that the asbestos removal bill was quite high. And Silverstein knew this. But conveniently, after he got the World Trade Center for a dollar, took out terrorism insurance, all of a sudden his asbestos removal problem was solved and he got all the money that he would have had to pay for the World Trade Center instead paid to him through insurance, which he in turn wound up owning the Sears Tower as well with.
And this is he now rebuilding the World Trade Center?
Yeah, he's building the Freedom Tower. And it looks like a giant, I don't know, an avant-garde pyramid of our time with an all-seeing frickin' light scope at the top or something. Goodness knows what.
Man, it's just criminal that we don't look deeply enough into this and that there are still people out there who refuse to have the courage to investigate 9/11 for themselves.
Yep, that's right. And people say, well, find us a judge or a prosecutor or something that's actually going to go to bat and take these people to court and put them in jail and stuff. Well, you really just can't find them. And that's the real crux of the issue, I think, is that that's why they call it the criminal justice system, because it's just criminal.
And not only that, one lady just, April Gallup?
Yes.
Took her case to court, and lo and behold, a Bush was one of the judges. So that was sort of thrown out real quick.
It is really crazy what we allow, and we still have the lack of intelligence and go around saying, well, we're free. Well, we're not free. You can't be free when your country is this much in debt. And the United States of America is a corporation. BS is the CEO, and that's all we get is BS and more of it. And it is becoming extremely now more difficult here in the United States to be able to raise our voices. You know, they sent a SWAT team to collect student loans. Let's let the $2.3 trillion that they lost the day before 9/11, you know, Rumsfeld and CBS with Dov Zakheim, let's forget about that. But, man, we're going to break down your door. We're going to get like 10 or 12 guys, dress them up in SWAT uniforms, to break down your front door over a friggin' student loan.
And then we're going to draft you into the military and send you to Iraq so that you get contaminated with all the depleted uranium weapons so that you wind up like the Iraqis who have 1 in 4 children born deformed. So many, in fact, that the most common question is not whether or not it's a boy or a girl. It's, is it normal? You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back after the break. We're jamming.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You can join us in the chat room there and join the Facebook group as well. And check out Evelyn Gilbert at Aotearoa, A Wider Perspective. You can click on the banner at GorillaMedia.co.nz. And also Karen Quinn Tostado at UnitedWeStrike.com. Phone lines are now open, so if you'd like to call in and discuss the issues of our genocidal times, the number is 402-237-2525. That's 402-237-2525. Evelyn, Karen, welcome back.
Thank you, Vinny, and thank you, listeners. Thanks. I'd love to have them call in, you know, because people are asking me all the time, well, what can we do? What can I do individually? And the answer is simple. Prepare yourself. Get food and water and survival gear and protection gear. Get to know your neighbors. Understand that we only need five things. We need clean air, clean water, healthy food, self-sufficient neighborhoods, and love. We need to love ourselves enough to stop being manipulated, to search for truth, and to understand that we are not free. We're living under tyranny. They are stealing everything from us and playing their games of war in order to subjugate, to make us either extinct or to enslave those of us who do survive. You know, from monitoring your water use, you were talking about getting a ticket earlier. Your car is going to be able to tune you in. They'll be able to turn off your car when they want it. They'll be able to turn off your heater when they want it. But it doesn't stop them from enjoying it. And if folks would only look at some of these movies that come out through history talking about King Henry VIII and these other rulers who are just absolutely horrible people, we are condoning their behavior. They're bullies who bully people around in the court into believing that they're better than anybody else, the queen, you know, all these supposed people who are in positions of power, the bloodlines. It's all a bunch of BS. We're created from that same divine essence, and we need to recognize that and live in equality and peace. It's the 21st century. It is time to rise to the occasion of becoming a hero of our own lives.
I found that a lot of people get tired, you know. They've been fighting for decades or what have you, trying to gain some traction against the New World Order, and they get really discouraged. Have you got any words of encouragement for those people out there who are experienced and have become kind of downtrodden?
Can I jump in on that one? You know, I'm 55, and I was politically active in the Vietnam era when I was 16, and then I was politically active against nuclear energy in, you know, the 60s and 70s, or the 70s and 80s, and so I've been going off and on about in political activism, you know, in cycles, and sometimes you need to take a step back. Don't let it worry you. Sometimes you're just too involved, and this is a long haul thing. This is not something that's going to change overnight. You have to stay with it, but you can also take a step back because there's going to be other people motivated to take over. It's like you're planting seeds all the time. You're planting seeds, and that's all you can do. But, you know, you can't change the world all by yourself. It's never going to happen, but you can. You can help and you can change little bits, and you can also take a little bit of time out to just get a perspective again. So don't let that discourage you.
Well, good advice. And also, all of us get discouraged. You know, I've had a couple of bad days this week myself wondering, you know, what am I doing this for? Am I making a difference? Why am I donating so much time to an effort that is definitely not benefiting me financially? We don't take any money. You know, it is all just something that I feel compelled to do, because as people get more and more angry, they need to be able to channel their anger, but to understand that the people in power would love for us to riot. They would love to be able to use the FEMA camps and all of the LRAD weapons and the sound cannons and the microwave weapons against us. So it is a process of learning. And one thing, though, that does help me, that is helping me, is when I step back and my spiritual beliefs, do. Most people do have a belief that they continue after the death of their body in this place. And if you believe that, then we have longer to figure this all out. This is a temporary situation, but when you look at quantum physics, when you understand that thoughts become things, and that Jesus preached that, you know, we would be able to do miracles as he did. There are ways of looking at this. There are healing places. There are tools that we can use to heal ourselves, and it is a new century. As we pass through the center of our galaxy, what gives me hope as well is the fact that I believe it is time for a raising of consciousness, for us to understand our equality, for us to look within, to find our own connection with that divine source that created all, and to look into sounds. Dr. Emoto has had great work in blessing water, the 528 hertz energy. I have a tuning fork of 528. You know, we're sound. We're affected by these things.
Yeah, from Lynn Horowitz.
Yeah, and that gives me hope. You know, when we collectively can channel our energy toward peace, there are experiments that prove violence goes down in areas. Water has a memory. When we can come together collectively and pray over it and love it and forgive ourselves, I think we are capable of great healing, which is the only way, in my opinion, we'll be able to overcome Fukushima, the ongoing BP Gulf massacre, the war games, the depleted uranium. We have to look at things from a different perspective, and we have to come together and understand we are far greater than what we have been led to believe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's like when you want to choose to be an activist, or if you want to choose to be anything in your life, you don't have to make up your mind too quickly on a decision that is going to affect the rest of your life. And that's what I think a lot of young people wind up doing these days, is they wind up starting to go into jobs or careers or something like that that aren't right for them, and they don't know who they are as people yet. And incidentally, we were talking about how college people who haven't paid their loans wind up getting SWAT teamed and such like that. Well, I'd imagine that's going to start happening a lot more to a lot of these kids' parents, because there's a new phenomenon. It's called full nest syndrome, where a lot of college graduates actually move right back in with mom and dad after they get their diplomas because they can't get a job.
Or they can't afford to rent on their own. There are a lot of dual and triple families living together, not only now in the Hispanic community, but because rent is so high and people are giving up their privacy. That's a way also of stripping us of our individuality. You know, don't have any privacy. The other day I was reminded of Starship Troopers. Have you seen that?
One of my favorite films of all time.
Yeah, Evelyn, did you?
No.
It's a good one to see because it really enforces the idea of being a citizen. You have to earn your way. You have to be a citizen so you can have a license to have children. You have to serve the state. You have to become a member of a society that knows how to kick ass and take orders, and that's it. And they have a co-ed dressing room, you know, co-ed bathrooms that they're starting to get because, hey, your sexuality should be equally shared with whoever you want it to be shared with, because we don't want you forming real relationships or having family or knowing what family is. We want you taking orders. We want you to be sexually active from the time that you can think, which is why they take Walt Disney girls who are raised, and the next thing you know, they're pole dancing. You know, this is what we want you to learn.
Kind of reminds me of Miley Cyrus.
Exactly. Exactly. Disney is...
In fact, you're absolutely 100% correct. Have you noticed that pretty much every child Disney star or whatever winds up being some description of cokehead?
Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, and back in our day it was Annette Funicello. You know, Annette...
Maybe it's part of a grand psyop to give people the impression that falling from being that cute, sweet, and whatever to being the bad girl, the scum filth of society is what people should expect and look up to and emulate. And sure enough,
that's it.
A lot of our sweet young children wind up turning into scumbags.
Disney is heavily involved in pedophilia and in pornography and in
social
teaching.
Programming.
Yes, yes, they are. And also, when you think about the cartoons and stuff that Disney has, like Dumbo, cute cartoon, but no mom. Snow White.
No father. And that's what most Disney films, family films, and I'm sure we've all seen a lot of them, think about it. How many of them had a stable mother and father and child relationship? No. It's always either an unstable family unit or it's a one-parent household. Every time.
And then they've got the warrior princess, you know, who's kicking butt and very self-sufficient. And then more and more sexy as they go on. Look at their outfits. Look at all the marketing that goes there. Yeah, look like Miley Cyrus. Dress like Miley Cyrus. Do this, and then she comes out with pole dancing. I mean, it is sending such mixed messages to children. They are totally indoctrinated and vaccinated.
I think it's sending a deliberate message to them. It's like, follow me. And then the parents go along with it. Oh, yeah, Miley Cyrus is sweet and nice. And I've had conversations with parents about this type of thing. And they say, oh, you know, she's very sweet and beautiful. And, you know, the kids look up to her. And it's nice. It's great, you know. And she comes out as a stripper, and the parents don't realize that because their children have become obsessed and follow these people, okay, that are put in front of them, that are manicured, pedicured, and have their hair done for them, their makeup done for them, and have all their choreography done for them and whatnot, completely staged, completely hollow, completely shallow shells of people, they wind up thinking that being that person is the most important thing that they could ever do.
Marketing. And instead of being able to be an individual, let's channel you down and show you what you're supposed to look like, what you're supposed to talk like, what you're supposed to wear, and buy this DVD so that you'll be really cool. You know,
because
none of it about...
You're not complete.
Exactly.
You know, and you'll never be complete. You still have to copy one more thing, buy another thing. And copy one other thing, and buy another thing, and so on and so forth, until eventually you wake up one morning and you realize, hey, I have a house full of crap that I don't use that has never helped me one iota in my life, and I can't afford to stay here anymore. What am I going to do with all this crap?
And you're completely dependent on the system. You don't know how to garden. You don't know how to build for yourself. You don't know how to protect yourself. You do not know how to live as our ancestors lived off of the land, because that has been stripped away and you've been put into these boxes living right next door to other people in different sized boxes or in the same community, and you're expected to go to school and obey the rules and stay within the lines and don't question your religion and don't talk about politics or religion ever. Suck it up, pay your taxes.
And if you try to... Sorry, you can't build your own house because there's rules and regulations for that too.
Yeah, so even if you could be self-sufficient, there's laws that prevent you from being.
It is. I have in the real world, I have a little market stall and I sell food. But slowly but surely, that's being strangled because there are all these rules about registration, which costs loads of money, and there's the kitchen that you have to have, which costs like 40 grand, and it's diabolical.
It's under UN Agenda 21. We had an excellent two-hour expose on that this weekend on United We Strike, and the archives are up on the UnitedWeStrike.com website, but it is. It's all about taking our land. Here in Oregon, we're in a beautiful location where there are about four ponds. There's a really beautiful big pond in front of us. There's one to the side. And the owners of the park cannot use their own water to irrigate their land. they're told that the state of Oregon owns their water. It just happens to be on their land, but they don't have the right to it. You know, it is ridiculous. In terms of owning property, they come up every time you turn around with another rule or legislation, and then we still have people who think that they're free. It's like free is being able to say, no, no, I don't want to participate in this. I don't want to pay for the war in Iraq. No, you cannot have my money for bombs for depleted uranium. No, I'm not going to contribute to Goldman Sachs government and CEOs with 47% bonuses. No, I won't do it. That's being free.
I think it's like free is not saying yes to everything. Free is being able to say no. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guests are Evelyn Gilbert from Aotearoa, A Wider Perspective.com, and Karen Quinn Tostado from UnitedWeStrike.com. Check out the archives of the shows there at UnitedWeStrike.com. We'll be right back.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
This is
I've
a been to Reno, Chicago, song.
Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto.
Oh, man.
The Fukushima that doesn't exist? The Fukushima we never hear about?
Yeah. Absolutely. I've been everywhere, man, in your imagination over there, man.
Are the only travelers that don't have to go through the TNA pad downs?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You don't need to be naked body scanned for your radiation these days. The body scan bath comes to you.
It is something. We had so much rain here in Oregon afterwards, too, and we're about 70 miles from the coast. And, I mean, what do? You can't let it totally destroy your life, even though it may in years to come. We stayed inside. We've got some supplements, and we figured that, okay, I'm spirit, ultimately, you know. And my husband figures that if that's true and there's something after this, then that's a great thing. And if not, there's nothing wrong with sleeping.
Well, you know, I kind of look at the end of the world type of scenario, which it's sort of very popular in the conspiracy theory movement, I've got to say. But the thing is, when I think of the end of the world, I think of it as a happy occurrence, because it means if the end is nigh, then I've got no excuses to do nothing anymore.
Right. And also, you know? I kind of think it is the end of this consciousness. I think that we are reaching a point where more and more people are waking up. And if this 528 hertz is true as well, if there are actually sounds that are being made by more people than just me, and when they are using it, they're thinking in terms of peace and love and healing. And if our DNA is coded, and it is a proof that we are, you know, we're sound, we're all vibrating, we're energy, you know. So if this is the magic note that can help wake up our energy, I'm all for that. You know, I believe in miracles, and we are the instruments through which they flow. We have time now to see if we can really do that. And if not, then I'm sleeping and I'm not worrying about my bills or the IRS or any of those bozos.
Oh, that's really trippy. That's cool, Karen. I sure everybody was like buzzing out on the air going, whoa!
I was.
Yeah. Wait, did I really hear that?
Got it.
It's such beautiful stuff.
It's like Karen just suddenly, you know, a massive light bulb just switched on. Ping!
Call me Tinkerbell like my husband.
That's right. We tinker with your bells here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Well, there's research backing it up, you know. There really is research, and I'm looking into quantum physics, and Len Horowitz was on our program, and, you know, saturating ourselves with that sound, if it's going to wake up my DNA, I want to give it a chance because I could use the awakening. I certainly don't have all the answers. I'm just on a journey here in this bag of skin, which I am hoping also not to come up with horrible cancers down the line because of Nukushima. I don't know, but it gives me hope, and it gives me another place to look in order to deal with this whole transformation that we're dealing with.
Well, it becomes puzzling to me that anybody could really be upset by what's going on, because, hey, it's their fault to a certain extent. So they could just take responsibility for it and change it. Although, then again, I'm not a big fan of allowing those who are responsible for a problem or a crisis come and solve it. You know what I'm saying? Because that's exactly what's been happening in the financial sector for quite some time. And the problems have only quadrupled. And the, what was it? You know how things double and triple and quadruple? Well, what do you call it when things get increased by a factor of a quadrillion? Quadrillionipple?
Sheesh, the Greenspan effect?
The Greenspan effect? Oh, yes. Coming to a cinema near you, the Greenspanton.
That's it. He was on a YouTube. People can search this out to say, yeah, well, you know, I made mistakes 30% of the time. Yeah, well, it was with our money, you bozo.
Yeah. Oh, Karen, you just cut out there, man. That's just really terrible. To cut out on that high note of, that was our money, you bozo.
Well, it came through loud and clear.
Yeah. I thought it was quite prompt, you know, just the, it's our money, you bozo.
Am I back?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? If you make 30% mistakes in your job, do they keep you?
Only if you're the head of the financial district of the United States.
Well, I said, no, they wouldn't keep you. They'd promote you to the head of the United States. As they did with George Bush. He was a reliable country, company effer-upperer.
No, now we're stuck with BS.
Yeah.
Barry Shapiro.
President BS himself. Our Lord and Savior. Barack H. O. Barry, the long-legged Mac Daddy, old Barry.
Yeah, with his gay friends and the bathhouses and all the rest of it, we just need to clean house, literally. And I think by totally withdrawing support and stopping the belief that we need to wait for another face. If you watch PsyWars, and people, please watch that. It's on taxfree15.com. You'll see that voting, in their opinion, is an exercise in marketing. That's all it is, an exercise in marketing and something to prevent you from taking action now.
Well, I suppose the whole idea is, in New Zealand we've got these driving traffic ads. I'm sorry, this might be an interesting segue. And they say, don't use your cell phones. Distractions are deadly. But of course, they broadcast that message on a television, which is distracting people from what's going on, and is inexorably, because of their ignorance in the television, going to wind up killing them. So distractions are deadly, and they tell you that while they're distracting you. And then if you get caught in your car distracted by one of the cell phones which they gave you, they give you a fine.
There you go.
Oh, the tyranny. I love it.
It's a strange world after all. It's a strange world after all. It is, and Disney owns a great deal of it, paid for by our money. We got to get off.
Disney owns us after all.
Did you guys see that little drawing of the prince and the princess who got married? And it completely resembled Prince William and Kate, Disney style, down to the costume.
Yeah, and they even had the ugly stepsisters.
Same colors too. Yeah,
Oh, Karen, you just dropped out again, love. But now you're back.
I tell you, I'm a drop.
Oh, she's a beauty school dropout.
Which is a shame because I'm totally awed and inspired. Meeting this wonderful lady.
Well, yeah. I feel the same about you. Am I up?
Yeah. Well, you were, but you've kind of cutting in and out with some intermittent cackling and inspiration. It's fabulous.
Intermittent.
I can make a dance music track. A Karen Quinn Costado. at least we're having a laugh amidst talking about the end of the world, you know. And it goes back to my central premise of the show: is that if you lose your sense of humor, you go freaking nuts, you know. And as far as I'm concerned, if you want to deal with reality, humor is your protection from the universe, as Mark Twain said, or at least I think it was Mark Twain, something along, somebody famous. More famous than me.
It's some pretty good stuff anyway, so yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I got a good one here. I bought some cigars a while back when I was a salesman and associate wanker. And it says, I've made a rule to never smoke more than one cigar at a time. And that was on his 75th birthday.
Pretty good. All right, in my back.
Yeah. Well, basically, when you talk just then, Karen, what we heard is, okay, am I back? And I can just honestly say that it's the end of the show conveniently, and yes, I can confirm we are all back to a certain extent. You've been listening to the fabulous Billy Eastwood Show, made fabulouser by my very special guesty booze, Evelyn Gilbert from Aotearoa Wilder Perspective.com and Karen Quinn Tostado from UnitedWeStrike.com. Thank you very much for listening to us, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you some other time.